service, they're going to be selling some things for missions in the foyer. Please stop by and bless them with that. I know it'll be a blessing to them. Brother Moore is no stranger to us. He's been in this pulpit many times, and he's an anointed preacher. And we love it when he's in the area. He's with us today. Then he's going to Bedford tonight at 6 o'clock to be with the Perrys. But we're blessed to have him with us today. I'm not going to bring him up here till everybody in the building smiles. And I want him to come up here and see you smiling at him. Yeah. Not a grimace, a smile. Yes. Brother Chet, we're glad to see you back in the house of the Lord. Some of you don't know, but he was in the hospital again last week. And we need to pray this stent that they put in. He's been in there 3 times with 3 heart attacks. And he was in there last week. This stent keeps collapsing, but no more. We just prayed in Jesus' name. That thing's going to, they put another stent in beside the old one. They're going to, in Jesus' name, that thing stays open and he's healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Moore, come. Preach the word to us today. We're so glad to have you. Give the Lord a hand clap as he comes. Would you do it? God bless you. Take your liberty. Preach to us.
Praise the Lord, everybody. You can make your way back to your seats if you wish. We're going to have a good time today in the Lord. Is that all right? It's an honor to be here. Give honor to Brother and Sister Hawkins, their family. Amen. This great church, all of your leadership today. God bless you. Amen. If you would, please. Yes, my kids are going to be selling some candy bars. It's for Move the Mission. It'll help them become real McCoys and appreciate that. Amen. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Reading the 16th verse, most of us could probably quote it today. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great promise from God? For God so loved the world. Aren't you thankful he didn't say, for God so loved the righteous, or for God so loved the perfect? He didn't even say, for God so loved the church. For God so loved the world. I know you've heard this many times, but if you'll just take a moment and let that get real big in your heart right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'd like to preach today this subject, Heaven's Whoever Policy. Heaven's Whoever Policy. Would you lift your hands and pray one more time for God? Just have his way. Father, we thank you for who you are. You're sovereign. You're wonderful. You're holy. You're present in this room. We thank you that you're going to help us today to receive your promises. Anoint me to speak the word of God. Let signs and wonders follow. Let the glory of God manifest in this house. Do what you do best, O God. Deliver and heal and save and touch to the uttermost. I pray it in Jesus' name. One more time, would you clap your hands to the Lord? Come on, clap your hands like a Pentecostal. Come on, give him a praise and a glory right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Whosoever is better translated, whoever, in modern linguistics. Yet whoever unfurls 3:16 as a banner for the ages. Whoever unrolls the welcome mat of heaven to humanity. Whoever invites the world to God. Jesus could have easily narrowed the scope, changing the whoever into whatever. In other words, he could have said, whatever Jew believes, or whatever woman follows me. But he used no qualifier. The pronoun is wonderfully indefinite. After all, who isn't a whoever? The word sledgehammers racial fences and dynamite social classes. It bypasses gender borders and surpasses ancient traditions. Whoever makes it very clear that on this afternoon that God exports his grace worldwide For those who attempt to restrict it, Jesus has one word, whoever. If you're thankful today that you're a whoever, you ought to give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Why don't you just touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm a whoever. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to you today. Amen. Amen. He loves us. Amen. He wants to save us. He introduces an offer. Amen. That one would be wise to accept. Amen. Heaven's whoever policy is all through the New Testament. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 10:32, the Bible said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:39, whosoever finds his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Mark 3 says, whosoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Amen. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 4, whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. John 6, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. John 11, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Revelation 22, all the way. Amen. In the last chapter of your Bible, the Bible said the whoever policy is still in effect, because the scripture says, amen, that heaven on high would authorize John to write, whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I've come to preach today that God has got a whoever policy in effect for you. Oh, I feel my helper right now. Come on, he's here for you. Whoever can believe and whoever will obey, the love of God belongs to you. Hallelujah. Paul would write in Titus 2 and assure us that the grace of God has appeared to all men. Amen. Paul would again write to 1 Timothy. Amen. In the first letter to his protege, he contends that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself to win the freedom for all mankind. And the Apostle Peter affirms, amen, in 2 Peter, he said, it's not the will of God that any should be lost, but all would come to repentance. The point I'm trying to make this morning in the very onset, amen, of this disclosure, amen, is that God's gospel has a whoever policy. Hallelujah. So many times we discount what God has for us, amen, because of our past, amen, or because of present trial or circumstance, or we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. I've just come to pause for just a moment to remind you, amen, that God goes on record to remind us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever, hallelujah, that would believe on him. Hallelujah. We need to know this today, that the downturns of life can create such a sad state of affairs that we wonder if God still wants us. Surely Lazarus the beggar wondered the same thing. Jesus tells us about a man who was so poor. Jesus tells us about a man who most theologians agree was a literal person in the history of the text, because it's the only person ever named in a parable of Jesus. Jesus in Luke 16, he said, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The two men dwell opposite sides of the city tracks. The rich man lives in posh luxury and wears the finest clothing. The language suggests he uses fabric worth its weight in gold. He eats exotic foods. He enjoys a spacious house with botanical gardens. He's the New Testament version of a Monaco billionaire. And yet, on the other side of the tracks, outside his gate, Lazarus is a homeless street sleeper. Dogs lick the sores that cavern his skin. He languishes outside the mansion, hoping for scraps. He's infected. He is rejected by society. He has no possessions. According to the text, no family. An exemption to God's whoever policy, right? I mean, let's just be honest. We come from the world, amen, that tells us, amen, that we have to help ourselves before God can help us. We come from society. There's no such thing as a free lunch. We come from an area, amen, that says the early bird gets the worm. In other words, you got to help yourself, amen. But sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be reminded that there's a whoever policy. Amen. Sometimes we need to be reminded, amen, whether we are, amen, in the house or the street sleeper, amen, that there's a whoever policy that still works for those that know that there is a God in heaven that knows your name. I feel like preaching right now. There's a God in heaven that knows where you lay your head at night. There's a God in heaven that knows your circumstance, and it still works. I'm come to preach to a Lazarus, amen, on a Sunday afternoon that says, you know what, preacher, I don't feel real spiritual. I don't feel real special. Maybe God loves everybody else, but perhaps I've got too much going in the wrong direction. But the Bible says, in the sudden drama, the curtain of death falls on Act 1, and eternal destiny is revealed. In Act 2, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. In the same night, the rich man dies and he was buried. In hell, the Bible said that the rich man who is in torment lifts up his head and he looks up and he sees Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. I want you to hear what I'm preaching right now. Just poor Lazarus now needs nothing. And now poor rich man, he needs everything. He loses the lap of luxury. And Lazarus discovers the lap of Abraham. Lazaruses still populate our planet. And I realize who I'm preaching to right now. You may not be homeless. Amen. You may not be begging for bread. But somebody in this house may be struggling with your identity. You may be struggling, amen, with what your future looks like. You may not be sleeping on streets. But perhaps you're sleeping on the floor somewhere. I've come to preach to somebody. Amen. Sometimes you got to get reminded that there is a God who has a whoever policy with a however benefit. What I've come to preach is that God will love you however he finds you. He may find you in the street. He may find you where the dogs are the only medicine to your body. But he is a God that has a whoever policy with a however benefit. Oh, somebody ought to give him a praise right now. He loves you however you come to him. He loves you however he finds you. My mother, amen, was an insurance agent for most of my young life. I'm used to going to Dairy Queen and people knocking on the window. Miss Moore, can you tell me about my policy? I grew up like that. And so I learned that your policy has got a stated practice. And then there are paragraphs of benefits. God goes on record, hallelujah, with the hope diamond of the Bible. They said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. The policy is whoever. Whoever that can believe. But the benefit is however. However it finds me. Whatever condition that I need him today. And then we turn in the scriptures, and we learn something beautiful, because this whoever policy has got a whenever benefit. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 20 that there is a householder who goes into the marketplace because he's got work to be done in his vineyard. And the Bible said he shows up, amen, at 6 a.m. And there are dutiful people that are there because they realize they got a family to feed and bills to pay and wages to make. They were earners. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong, amen, with people that know their responsibility and showing up for work. I know the pastor will say amen for that. Amen. And the householder hires them. And they signed a contract in the morning that made everybody happy. The Bible said they got paid a penny a day. Now, I know that's not the same wages we earn today, and it's kind of a hard thing to comprehend, but a penny for the day. That's what the paymaster was paying, a penny for the day. Yes. And they celebrated when they signed that contract in the morning. And the Bible said they went off and they put their hands to the work of the vineyard. And 3 hours later, that paymaster was there in the marketplace. He was hiring again. Hallelujah. I don't know why those guys, the next group, had been sleeping in. But thanks be to God, they got hired. And here's the miracle of the moment. They got the same contract. They signed for the same terms. Amen. They came into the same testament. Hallelujah. And they go and they work 9 hours. But the householder wasn't done hiring. I don't know what the holdup was, but there were some people that got there late to work. Amen. They realized they had a need, that they needed to go to work. And thanks be to God, he still had his contract out. Amen. He was still hiring people that realized, I need to get to work in the vineyard. And he hired them again. And he did it at 3 p.m. And the Bible said, I wish I could preach right now. Amen. The Bible said he kept hiring as long as they were willing. He kept hiring as long as they kept showing up. As long as there was a need in the marketplace, there was a paymaster that said, I can hire whatever you bring to me. And he did it to the 11th hour. He kept on paying. Because he has a whoever policy. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves because we'll tell her, I'm not Pentecostal. I wasn't raised this way, Pastor. I don't know, amen, how to live that way. I want to help you understand something. I'm not trying to make you a Pentecostal. I'm trying to get you connected to Jesus. I said, he loves everybody. He loves everybody. I don't care what you call yourself. I'm trying to get you connected to the paymaster. I'm trying to get somebody connected to a new covenant. I'm trying to get you connected to a new agreement. That if you'll show up, God will pay the bill. If you'll show up, he'll pay the debt of your sin. Whoever. Too long we live with these blinders on. Amen. That he only loves a particular sect of people. I've come to preach it to whoever policy with a whenever benefit. It's when I realize I need salvation. It's when I come to the revelation. I need somebody to speak on my behalf. I need some God in heaven to get involved in my life. I need a healing in my body. I need a miracle in my family. I need a touch in the altar. Whenever you understand that the only person that keeps you out of his grace is you. It wasn't long ago. I was cleaning my car out. My daughter should probably be paid in great dividends from Chick-fil-A, because I invest in Chick-fil-A on the regular. And I found, Brother Tyler, I found a free chicken sandwich gift card in between my seat. And I said, praise the Lord. I found the Lord's chicken in my car. But my joy was short-lived because it had expired. And so I was reminded that there's some good things in life that have an expiration date. I don't know what keeps you, in your pew. I don't know what keeps you curious and not committed. I don't know what keeps people away from the cross. Amen. I don't know for you, but somewhere you got to come to the revelation that there's an expiration date on this thing. He said, I love whoever that has the courage and the faith and the wherewithal to believe on my name. But somewhere you got to realize I've got to make a choice. It's whenever I decide to obey him. I've come to declare in the Holy Ghost, there's a family going to come out of darkness today. There's somebody going to step out, amen, of sickness and pain. Somebody's going to move as the Holy Ghost moves you whenever you decide. I feel something right now. Somebody needs to make a decision. I'm going to move today. I'm going to repent today. I'm going to get baptized today. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost today. Oh, clap your hands all over this house. My pastor taught me to always have great respect for the Word of God. And I know in certain ways, I understand the sentiment of this statement, that the most important part of the service is the Word of God. And I respect that. But my pastor taught me, he said, that's not how I'm going to pastor. Now, if your pastor does it different, I apologize. He said, Jeremy, the most important part of the service is when God moves. He said, if God's moving in the song, he said, you move with the song. He said, if God moves in the altar, then bless the Lord, move at the altar. He said, if God moves in the offering, you move with the offering. If God moves with the preaching, move with the preaching. But whenever, he loves everybody, but whenever. When he says run, run. When he says pray, pray. When he says seek the Lord, you will find him. Whenever. Whoever, however, whenever. There's a wherever. I'd like to talk to you about the prodigal son today. Wherever you are, you're not too far from home. I'd like to take just a minute to preach to those that's not in the house. Wherever you are right now, you're not too far from God. Wherever you are right, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Wherever you are right now, you're not too far from God. I would encourage everybody in this house to raise your hands and call out the name of a prodigal. Amen. Call out the name of a lost loved one. Come on, just speak their name. I don't know where they are, but they're not too far from God. Amen. Because we're going to call on him. They can call on his name right where they're at. The prodigal son assumed he was too far from home. He had spurned his father's kindness, and the Bible said he had journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. Hallelujah. Wasted inheritance, wasted purpose, and wasted years. But I've come to preach the policy of whoever. Hallelujah. I'm talking to the Lazaruses that feel like they have no way to help themselves up. I'm preaching to the whenever, to the person who can't quite qualify why I wait. I don't know what I'm afraid of. I don't know what keeps me locked in my seat or my lips locked or my hands folded. Amen. But I've come to try to get somebody out. Amen. Of a former position. I'm trying to get you connected that there is a God that's in love with you. He loves you enough. He died in your place. He loved you enough. Amen. To lift you up. He loved you enough to not only save you, but to bless you. He loves you enough to bring you out of darkness and put you in marvelous light. Wherever you are, you're not too far from God. Oftentimes, it's the elements of wasted opportunities that haunt your mind the most. People with potential to do good and waste that potential must find a special grace to overcome pride and to return home. Can I preach this for a minute? Somebody say, whoever? Wherever. It's a powerful policy. To consider from a pig farm to the Father's mansion is quite a trip. And God can do the same for us. And just help me right now. I think sometimes we are too quick as a church to sanitize the prodigal's behavior. Now, let me just clarify. I'm not trying to be ugly today. But there's a lot of people that try to church up sin. And when you do that, you diminish grace. Because even though we would call it unmentionable things. But in the eyes of God, that's what he died for. The Bible says that the prodigal was such a rank sinner. The Bible clearly says on multiple occasions he went to a far country. So let me help you. It wasn't like he left Ellettsville and went to Bloomington. He didn't leave Ellettsville and go to Indianapolis. The Bible said he went to a far country. Let's just put it in context. The prodigal left Ellettsville and went to Saudi Arabia and was such a vile sinner that the actions of his sins made it back to Ellettsville. Now ponder that. I'm not talking about somebody who was a hellraiser in Bloomington or Indianapolis or another city. He said a far country. And he spent his father's goods in such an unscrupulous and unrighteous way that his testimony made it back to the father's house, because the elder brother tells us so. The elder brother got mad because daddy wouldn't throw him a party. He said, but you're going to give this younger brother who wasted all of our goods and embarrassed us in other lands, in faraway places? I heard about what he did, daddy. You heard about what he did. How could you love somebody like that? And what I'm trying to preach, it walks all over our self-righteousness. It walks all over our religiosity. It walks all over all of that, because it all comes back to the whoever. For God so loved the world. And it involved a whoever, wherever he's at. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the prodigal, hallelujah, in that sinful stupor, amen, he came to himself. He came to himself. Somebody needs to come to themselves this afternoon. He came to himself. He came to himself in a faraway place. He came to himself where there was no church. There was no church music. There was nothing around him to encourage him but the memory of a loving father. I'm getting your Bible, Luke chapter 15. The Bible said in a pig pen, he said to himself, he had nobody to talk to. He was lonely. Can I preach right now? I pray to God that God would put us in a place, amen, a shut-in place where there's no other voice that can distract us from the Father's house, only but the voice that reminds us how good Daddy's house really is. He said, I will arise and I'll go to my father. He didn't say, I'll arise and go to my father's house. I will arise and I'll go to my father. Why did he say that? Because he wasn't real sure after the life he had been living, amen, that the house was ready to forgive what his daddy would. I don't think brother's going to welcome me with open arms. I'm not real sure, amen, that the servants, amen, when they know what I've been doing, are going to put their arms around me. But there's one thing I can't forget, is that Daddy loves me, whosoever, however, whenever, wherever. There's a God that's in my house. Come on. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm sick to death of all this church hurt stuff. And people using it for an excuse why they can't serve God. I'm just going to say that. Yes, it happens. And yes, I'm sorry. But there is a God who did not hurt you. The house may not be perfect, but the Father in it is. That's why the prodigal in a faraway place, I will arise and I will go to my father. I'm trying to preach somebody up out of the pig pen. I'm trying to get you on your feet. I'm trying to get you to set your face toward the Father's house because he is there. And when you show up, Daddy's going to meet you. So here's what he says. I'll arise and go to my father. Because I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Is that what he said? I'm no more worthy to be called your son, so just make me a servant. Make me a servant. His journey into a far country, many theologians will agree with this, had left him stripped. He lost his coat. He lost his garment. Everything that gave him identity in his father's house, when he left, he lost it out there. He was so bankrupt that the Bible said he would have fain filled his belly with the husks of pigs. That means he fainted. He would have fainted. That means I wished I could, but I can't. I feign. That means I desire, but I can't even partake of it because the owner gave it to the pigs instead of him. He was so devalued. His self-esteem was gone. I'm no more worthy. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me. Why? Why does the son have to make the request, make me? Because the world has so devoured me. Make me as a servant. Make me because I'm so broken. Make me because I've lost my identity. Make me because I cannot identify with what a whole person is. Make me as one of your servants. This is the rehearsed speech of a man who qualifies as a whoever in a wherever condition. I'm no longer worthy, so just make me as one of your servants. Now hear me. This is human nature on display. Because when we mess up, there's a part of us that wants to correct it ourselves. What he was really saying is, just hire me back so I can pay you back. I'm trying to earn my way back into wellness. So rather than just accept the loving grace that God is trying to put in our life. We have this guy who has wrecked his life, but he is the son of the Father. But rather than accept his sonship, he's trying to earn his way back, because that's what we do. When Adam fell in the garden, what did he do? He made himself a covering. What he lost to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he lost his innocence. They were made naked and unashamed. But when they sinned, what did he do? His eyes were open. Now he's ashamed. So he tries to cover himself with the works of his own hands. He tries to satisfy or earn his way back as though God wouldn't notice. Here's the prodigal. I'm trying to earn my way back. So he has this rehearsed play, this rehearsed speech. He goes in the direction of his father. And the Bible said, it's what I love about the story, he doesn't even make it to the house. The father saw him coming from a long way off. That's what the Bible said. Saw him coming from a long way off. I don't know how far daddy ran. The Bible doesn't say. But he runs and he embraces the son. Hallelujah. Amen. He sees somebody who's got a repentant heart moving in the direction of who he is. He wasn't coming back to the church. He was coming back to the Father. Amen. I'm coming to get into relationship with the Father. And he's running. He's running to the Father. And the Bible says that the Father fell on his neck and kissed him and had great compassion on him. I want somebody to hear what I'm preaching. Heaven has a whoever policy. There is a God that's wanting to put his hands around you and kiss your neck and restore what's been lost. He wants to love somebody in this house. And before the prodigal can finish his rehearsed speech, he gets somewhere around this phrase. Father, I have sinned before God and before you. And I'm no more worthy. Right about that time, daddy said, shh, 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 shh. It's that talk about worth. Because you don't get to come in my house because you're worth it. You have access to my house because you have my name. In other words, here's what he said. He said, it's never been about your worth. It's always been about your birth. That's why you've got to be born again. That's why you've got to be born of the water and the spirit. That's why you have to understand, none of us can earn heaven. None of us can save ourselves. But if you'll obey the gospel, if you let the power of the gospel cause you to be born again, it's your birth that gives you access to his worth. We lose much in life. Sobriety, solvency, sanity. We lose jobs. We lose chances. Sometimes we lose it love. We lose youth and its vigor. Idealism and its dreams. We lose much. But I've come to preach today what we don't lose. No matter where you are, you never lose access to heaven's whoever policy. I preached all that to this hook right here. John 3:16. Whosoever that believeth in him. Is anybody like me? When you get into a contract, the first question says, what's my responsibility? What do I have to do? The policy says, for God so loved that he gave, that whosoever, what? Believeth. My only responsibility in the entire offer is believe. Just believe. Now, here's where we have the problem. But preacher, you don't understand what I've really done. And you don't understand who I am and the trouble I've caused. And we get into all these superlatives. Whosoever believeth. should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth. I've come to preach to somebody. The whoever offer is God. The choice is mine. Somewhere I have to choose it. I've got to believe that he really loves me. I've got to believe that the cross is bigger than my need. Somewhere I've got to fall in love with the God who took my place and drug me out of a miry pit and stamped, amen, a road sign on the road to hell that said forgiven. For all the thinkers in the room, John 3:16 was preached to a man called Nicodemus. A religious man, hear me. I'm closing, but hear me. Nicodemus was a religious man. Brother Pace, he was a doctor of the law. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He was one of the 70 justices that tried people according to their righteousness. He understood the God of Moses. And he had the wherewithal to recognize that no man could do the miracles that Jesus did except God be with him. And so that man goes on record and says polite platitudes to Jesus. And he says, for no man can do those things. For we know that God must be with him. We know. Everybody in this room comes to God with what they know. What you perceive about God, what you think about God, whether that's good or bad. There's people in this room that perceive God as a forgiving God. There's some that may perceive him as a judging God. Nicodemus knew the God of the thou shalt not. Nicodemus had a doctorate in no. I'm preaching right now. All he had fellowshipped was the God that said, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that or you're going to go to hell. You can't do that or your soul shall be cut off. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. So in his mind, it's hard to fellowship a God that says he loves us, whoever. Because, see, Nicodemus comes from the place of if you're righteous, then God honors you. He comes from the place of, I'm saved by my own muscle. I'm saved by my own might. If I can say no hard enough, if I can say no loud enough, if I can discipline my flesh enough, then I shall earn salvation. But Jesus comes preaching another doctrine. Jesus comes and said, Nicodemus, here's what you've got to understand. It's not based on your might. It's not saved by your muscle. Your morality cannot heal you. You've got to understand you're healed by your faith. Whosoever believeth on me. So I'm preaching today to a group of people that I'm going to refer what Jesus did. Before Jesus gets to verse 16, he stops in the 14th verse. If the sound can do that on short notice, John 3:14, Jesus is talking to a doctor of the law. A teacher of Israel. Here's what he said. He said, you're struggling in your mind because you've been taught that you can save yourself. He said, but there was an account in the scripture where the people of Israel rebelled against God and against Moses. And they said, we hate this manna, this loathsome bread. We've had all the manna sandwiches we can handle. And we don't like this journey, and I don't like this hot desert. As a matter of fact, we think it was better in Egypt. And about that time, God had enough of that stuff, and he sent fiery serpents in among them, and the fiery serpents started biting them, and people started dying left and right. Their tongue caught the ear of God, so God put a serpent's tongue on them. You better be careful what you say. And so, can I just be honest? If there was an outbreak of poisonous biting snakes, I might be provoked to pray, God, remove the snakes. But that's not what God did. God didn't remove the snakes, but rather he told Moses to make a snake. Well, that got interesting. You know, I like a God that says, hey, woo, get out. God didn't remove the trouble. He just gave a remedy in the trouble. He made a snake. He said, I want you to take that serpent of brass. I want you to take brass, which is a sign of judgment, and I want you to hammer that snake into the image of what's biting you. I want you to hammer that thing, and I want you to put it on a pole. And those that have been snake bit, I want you to hold it up high. So those that have been bitten, all they have to do is look and live. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do any type of special prayer. There's no special holy water. You don't have to do like, you know, hop on one foot and quote four verses. None of that business. He said, just look and live. He's talking to Nicodemus. He said, that's how God operated in the Old Testament. He said, get out of your own head, Nicodemus. You're trying to make salvation way too hard. He said, I'm trying to point you to what I'm trying to do in the earth. Just look and live. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe that I can heal and save and deliver. Just look and live. Stand to your feet. I'm wrapping up. I'm going to make a point. Is that okay? Everybody in this room has made a decision at some point in this service today to sit on the seat that's in front of me because you believed it was going to hold you. Is that right? I would say a great many of us has eaten food today having confidence that when I swallowed this food, that there was going to be a chemical process that I can't see nor understand that would provide nutrition for my health. There are people that have walked in this room today that flipped on a light switch before you left home or flipped it off. You couldn't see the electrical current, but you trusted it would work. You got in your car and trusted that when you hit the ignition, it was going to start, and when you pushed it, it was going to turn off. There are things we do every day that requires to believe in order to get a result. So why would it be any different right now when I preach about the elevated King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that said, whoever that believes in me, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm preaching to somebody right now to get out of your own way. I'm trying to get you to lift up your eyes and just look on him and just believe on him and just know that your healing is just a matter of believing him. Come on, your salvation is a matter of just believing on him. Come on, your next miracle is just a matter of believing on him. It's no special calisthenics. It's no special workup. You just got to believe. It's heaven's whoever policy. So I'm preaching today to the man or the woman, the boy or the girl, that says, I qualify today. I'm the whoever. And I know that you love me. And you're God that's bigger than grief. You're a God that's bigger than cancer. You're a God that's bigger than diabetes. You're a God that's bigger than family drama. You're a God that's bigger than parenting issues. You're a God that's bigger than financial trouble. Come on, you're a God that's bigger than whatever serpent is trying to bite, amen, in my faith. I'm just trying to do, amen, what the Word of God said. Just look and live. Come on. That's what Jesus said as Moses lifted up the rod. This spake he of what Christ would do. Christ is going to be crucified. He said, when Christ is lifted up, if you'll just look, you'll live. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody in the Holy Ghost. You're just one decision away. You're just one step from the altar. You're just one call from a loving Father putting his hands around you and blessing you and healing you and restoring you. It's the whoever policy. If I'm preaching to you right now, would you come to this altar? Come on, if I'm preaching to somebody that says, I just need to be reminded he loves me. I just need to feel the hands of the Father touch my life again. I just want to feel and hear and receive the love of God fresh in my life. If I'm preaching to you, would you come? Would you come?
Thank you, young people. Come, come. Make room. Make room. Come on, mom and dad. Step out here. It's for whoever. If you're a first-time guest or a long-time member, I'm preaching today. Heaven has a whoever policy. And if you want to activate God's love in your life, you just got to believe Him. Just believe Him for the supernatural. Believe Him for forgiveness. Believe Him for deliverance. Believe Him for a touch of the Holy Ghost. Would you raise your hands all over this house? God makes the offer. We make the choice. It's for whosoever. Don't delay. Would you come? Don't delay. There's a paymaster in this altar right now. There's somebody hiring to those that come. The day's running out, folks. The sun's about to set. Judgment's coming. Somebody move right now into a whoever policy. Come on, step into a confidence with God. Would you respond? Would you come believing in the name of Jesus? The anointing of the Lord flow. The anointing of the Lord operate. The power of God save and touch and heal.